Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, there's another great segment here from Jesse Waters that I want to share with you. Of course, we are, of course, your Fox News affiliate here, 1370 KXTL Butte, 1450 KMMS Bozeman, 1340 KPRK Livingston, 970 KBUL Billings here in the early morning hours of the show. Jesse Waters just had a great segment last night on all fronts. We talked a little bit about that in the 6 o'clock hour of the show. President Trump wanting to rename the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America. Plus, Donald Trump Jr. was on the ground in Greenland yesterday. If you were listening in the 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock hours of the show, our friend John Jackson was sharing this news with us in real time as he was monitoring X while he was on the show. So we were talking about how Donald Trump Jr. was on the ground in Greenland yesterday. Here you go. Jesse Waters has the audio.
But before Trump scoops up Canada, he's scoping out Greenland.
Well, we need Greenland for national security purposes. I've been told that for a long time, long before I even ran. I mean, people have been talking about it for a long time. You have approximately 45,000 people there. People really don't even know if Denmark has any legal right to it. But if they do, they should give it up because we need it for national security. That's for the free world. I'm talking about protecting the free world. You look at, you don't even need binoculars. You look outside, you have China ships all over the place. You have Russian ships all over the place. We're not letting that happen.
Trump saying we need Greenland to protect Denmark and the rest of the free world. How does Denmark need it more than we do? Denmark should want us to have Greenland. It's in everyone's interest. Imagine if something bad happened to Europe and it was because the United States didn't have Greenland. How do you think Denmark would feel then? Today, Trump Force One took an expeditionary flight to Greenland, delivering an American dignitary to stake a diplomatic claim.
We're here in Nuuk, Greenland. Just incredible scenery. Super cool stuff.
The people of Greenland were delighted to see Don Jr.
Okay, we are here in Greenland with Don Jr.
Everyone wants to be on TikTok.
What do you guys think of America?
Great.
You love America and you love Trump?
Yes, of course.
The youth of Greenland, Don.
We're hearing a lot of it, guys. We're hearing a lot of it.
47 even called in to greet our new family members.
I just want to say that it's a very special place. It needs security for itself, but it also needs security very much for the world. The location really, you see the people and the ships sailing around, and they're not the right ships, and they're not the ships you want to know about. So we need security, and our country needs it, and all the world needs it.
Yes.
Denmark just doesn't see the potential in Greenland that Trump does. He knows what Greenland is capable of. And Greenland will never be able to achieve what it's capable of under the thumb of the Danes. And the Greenlandians are excited, but the Danish are not.
All right, great segment all around by Jesse Waters on Fox News primetime last night. One frago, we got a guest coming up after this, and then we'll have open phones after that for the rest of the hour.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. We'll see sunshine and some increasing clouds later today, and a few snow showers possible towards the afternoon, especially in the Bozeman area. High temperatures will range in the mid and upper 30s. For tonight, with cloudy skies and some areas of light snow, accumulations generally staying at an inch or less, with low temperatures from the upper teens to the lower 20s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
This is House Call for Health. The norovirus is on the increase. The CDC saying the numbers of cases doubled in December compared to the same month the previous year. Fox News contributor Dr. Nicole Sapphire talking about the illness with America's Newsroom.
Well, we see norovirus every single year, November to April, most commonly, and it is the stomach flu, which should not be confused with the influenza flu. The stomach flu is caused by norovirus, which is different from influenza, and it is a contact virus, not a respiratory virus, and it can cause diarrhea and vomiting and fever, and let me tell you, it is highly contagious. We really worry about this on cruise ships and nursing homes where you have a lot of people in one area because it is so contagious. Let me just say, in the winter months, maybe you should avoid some of those leafy greens, the uncooked seafood, and the fresh fruits when you're out in public, because that's where you tend to find it, because people don't always wash their hands after using the restroom.
For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Anna Eliopoulos, Fox News.
The Montana legislature only meets every other year for about 90 days. That session is now underway after lawmakers were sworn in at the Capitol in Helena. One of the biggest issues facing the legislature this session is judicial reform. Hey, Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. If you go to MontanaTalks.com, you can see a full primer on judicial reform. Our conversation with former UM constitutional law professor Rob Nadelson and State Senator Tom McGilvery detailing the proposal.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
So a few days ago on our show, I put this story on our Montana Talks website from one of our contributors in Bozeman. We had a great write-up here on our Montana Talks website from one of our Bozeman contributors. Montana winter is here. Join Bozeman's snow angels and make a difference. It's the snow angels is what they call it, is the program in Bozeman. I'll tell you a little bit more about that here in just a second. But first, hey, do we got any snow buddies out there? No, I didn't say no buddies. Snow buddies. So apparently there has been a program in the past called the Billings Snow Buddies, and folks are really trying to rebuild this program. Anyway, sounds like a really cool deal. Great to have Justin Voller on the phone lines with us right now. Justin, hey, thanks for joining us on the show.
Yeah, thanks, Aaron. Thanks for having me.
You know, it's I joked the other day, you know, with all this snow that we've been getting here recently, finally, you know, one of the best moves I ever made was buying a snowblower, because I'm a member of the Bad Back Club. And the last thing I want to be doing is out there, you know, leading to 4 days of back pain because I was shoveling snow. But, man, we've got a lot of senior citizens out there who they're in the same boat. If they can even make it outside and risk a fall in the snow and in the ice. And so anyway, tell us about your program.
Yeah, absolutely. There are a lot of senior citizens out there and people that are disabled that really benefit from this program. The Billings Snow Buddy program was started by the city. It was coordinated through the Public Works Department for quite a long time. And I volunteered for that organization for several years before they decided that they were no longer going to offer that service to the city of Billings. I decided that this is a service that's too important to the residents, to our community, and I basically took over the program. The city handed me their list, and I ran from there. This was 3 years ago. The Snow Buddy program, its whole purpose is to remove snow from public areas outside of residents' houses. So that would be their sidewalks, and that would be their boulevards. Removing that snow will help them get to where they need to go, not worry about risking a fall, like you said, or even worse. And it's a great program to give back to your community. It's a great program to, you know, go out there and actually make a difference for the people that, you know, have given so much throughout their life, and now they just need a little help from from us.
So it's
a really great program.
So did it falter because just lack of volunteers, and so maybe now with a renewed effort to get more volunteers? Because I can see where a lot of people would want to volunteer for a program like this, and I'm assuming you could be assigned homes in your own neighborhood, so you don't have to travel all the way across town. But if, you know, if you're whipping your snowblower out of your garage, you could, you know, maybe you didn't know that there's an, you know, elderly, you know, neighbor, you know, around the corner that could really use something like this. And so now, hey, just keep going around the corner. And because I have a ton of fun getting out there with the snowblower. I just feel bad that I can't do it first thing in the morning because I'm already here on the radio.
Oh, sure. Yeah. The I think it really transitioned more to, you know, from the city to me because of this volunteer coordination. It was just something the city that they weren't, you know, able to keep resources on and keep up with. Yeah, the Snowbuddy program works that if you want to volunteer, we definitely try to get you a house that is close to where you live. We don't want you traveling from West End to, you know, the Heights. The whole point is you go to that house, you clear out the snow, and then you leave. The resident feels safe. The resident, you know, has their areas clear of snow, and you know, the next time it snows, the volunteer just goes right back to that same address and takes care of it when they can. The current needs that we have, of course, we always need volunteers, are in Midtown and in the Heights. Those are the areas right now that we have unassigned houses. And so, you know, the volunteers that we do have assigned right now, they take on their houses where they've been assigned. And the unassigned houses can get picked up by volunteers who wish to do a little bit more, or they fall onto my list. And so I'll run out and take care of those houses, as many as I can.
Yeah, that's great. And I see you've got a Facebook page if people want to get a hold of you. It's called Billings Snow Buddies. I mentioned how Bozeman, they've got their Snow Angel program. So there's the Bozeman Snow Angels program that folks can read about on our Montana Talks website as well. There must be similar efforts like this all across the state of Montana.
Oh, I would imagine. I remember watching a national story about a similar group. It was also called Snow Angels, but it was from the eastern half of the country, somewhere over there, that they're doing the same thing, where they're looking for volunteers to help out the people that are elderly or disabled in the community. But the Snowbuddy Facebook page is a great way to get a hold of us if you're looking to volunteer or if you're looking to ask for help. We also have a phone number. That phone number is 406-647-0812. And that phone number, it will take you right to a voicemail box. And so that voicemail box, just leave your name, your number, if you're asking for help or if you're asking to be a volunteer, and I'll get a call back to you on that one.
Hey, perfect. Justin Voller, thanks for all you're doing. Very cool. And, encourage people to sign up for the Billings Snow Buddies or the Bozeman Snow Angels, or check and see if there's a program in your neck of the woods as well. Great to have you on the show, Justin. Thanks for what you're doing.
Yeah, thanks, Aaron. Have a great day.
Hey, you too. Appreciate it. And thanks to Gillette for giving us the heads up on this story as well. We've also got a story on our Montana Talks website right now. If you want to be a snow buddy, all the details, MontanaTalks.com. Okay, you want to be a buddy and call into the show? 406-294-0970.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
When Montanans talk about taxes, they usually mean all taxes. But when we talk about the budget deficit, it's the federal government that's spending more money than it takes in, spending too much money, many would say, with ample evidence. But there's another side to deficits that you might not want to hear. The Congressional Budget Office estimates that federal taxes of all kinds added up to 17% of the economy, or GDP, last year. That's exactly the same fraction that taxes accounted for in 1962, before the Great Society spending programs, or the escalation of the Vietnam War. That's been good as far as economic growth is concerned, arguably. Tax rate cuts at various points in time have spurred investment and helped grow the economic pie. Many more have been proposed. But the decades of actually cutting taxes and paying only lip service to controlling spending have produced the profound imbalance we have today. And correcting that will involve more taxes. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
Mark Zuckerberg is firing his fact checkers, even as he takes other steps to ingratiate himself with President-elect Trump. Now, they've had a testy relationship, but it doesn't hurt that Meta's kicking in $1 million to the Trump inaugural. But now, he says they're at a cultural tipping point and too many mistakes were being made and people didn't trust the fact checkers anyway, so they get rid of them. And he says this is a cultural tipping point? Well, that's because there's about to be a new president. And he says, even if they make mistakes on even 1%, that's an awful lot of people. Now, in addition, Zuckerberg has hired a prominent Republican lawyer, Joel Kaplan, to be the head of global affairs and put a Trump ally, Dana White, of United Fighting Championships on the Meta board. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
This just in, hot off the bench press. Planet Fitness has added new strength equipment. Save $28 or more when you join today, and you can be one of the first to try it out. We're raising the bar with new benches, and our new hack squat will have you actually looking forward to leg day. Plus, we're still repping all of the best-in-class equipment we've always had, with most clubs open 24 hours, so you can work out your way on your time. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends January 10th. See Home Club for details.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
New Senate Majority Leader John Thune laid out his priorities, including a new farm bill, as the 119th Congress got underway. Thune says he understands rural America, where he started life in a small South Dakota town.
The town of Myrtle, population today roughly around 500 people. We didn't even have a traffic light, and I wouldn't have had it any other way. Life in Myrtle had a beautiful simplicity. Sure, it had one or two drawbacks. With a population that small, we Thune kids could be sure that our parents would have heard all about any of our misdemeanors before we even made it home.
That rural upbringing led Thune to value the land, agriculture, and the importance of community, values that stuck with him as he rose through the ranks in the House and then the Senate. Thune succeeds Kentucky's Mitch McConnell as the Senate GOP leader and now as majority leader, setting out an aggressive early agenda with many parts of the agenda important to producers and rural areas.
Extending the tax relief Republicans delivered during the first Trump administration, lifting burdensome and expensive government regulations to help American businesses and families flourish, bringing appropriations bills to the floor for serious deliberation so that we make the best possible use of taxpayer dollars, an overdue farm bill to update farm programs for farmers and ranchers to reflect current agriculture needs.
Farmers are hopeful with his time on the Senate Ag Committee. Passing a farm bill could be a top priority for the leadership. I'm Lee Northlund.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. This is where Montana talks.
I found the tweet in the six. I did not get all my show prep done today. There is just way too much to prepare for. You're never fully prepared for a show like this. A four-hour show, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. That's why your phone calls are so great, because you get information that we always get such great information from our callers. But, you know, if we just had a national radio talk show, we could just cover the national stuff. So it's like, okay, I've got a stack of national stuff over here. But we got to cover the statewide stuff as well, right? And kind of the regional stuff. What's going on down in Wyoming? What are they doing with these wolves down in Colorado? What a train wreck that is. That's why we appreciate the farm and ranch reports from Lane and Russell as well, and the whole crew at the Western Ag Network. But then we got to, you know, keep an eye on a lot of these local issues in our various towns and cities as well. But anyway, that's part of the fun also. But in the 6 o'clock hour, we were talking about this great press conference. Just based off the highlights that I saw, I wish I took the time to watch the whole press conference yesterday. I was just running around way too much. I think I had some snow to break out the snowblower on as well. But I said, I don't know who it was that said it, but they said, we are so back. You know, look at President Trump taking over an hour long of questions. And could you imagine Joe Biden trying to pull that off yesterday, what Trump pulled off yesterday? I found the tweet. You know, normally I'll go in and I'll pull up, you know, my last 24 hours worth of tweets and print them up so that I've got them in front of me here while we're in the studio. I found it. It's Jimmy Failla, the great Jimmy Failla. He's got the Saturday night show on Fox News. But he's the guy who was the New York City cab driver and a stand-up comedian who now has a show on Fox News. And he's a character. We got to have a cigar with him in Helena after his Helena show. Ton of fun. But anyway, Jimmy Failla said this: an American president just took questions from reporters for an hour, and his staff did not have the Easter Bunny stop him once. We are so back. That's what Jimmy Failla said via X. Let's get into the phone lines here. 406-294-0970. I'm a little scratchy anyway, so you probably want to hear somebody else. We got Mike in Big Timber next up. Mike, great to hear from you.
Thanks for taking my call. Welcome back. Hope you're feeling better, Aaron. In this legislative session, they're talking about court reform, justice reform. And I was wondering if you've heard anything on the national level. Remember what Schumer said? He promised that district courts or court appointees, if they pass together,
3 minute stations,
he promises there will be no objection to the Republicans when they put forth justices. Did you remember that?
You know, big picture, you pose a really good question here, which is kind of funny to me, is that, when Chuck Schumer and the Democrats have judicial reform, that clearly is just an overt takeover of the U.S. Supreme Court. The liberal mob media cheers it on. Oh, well, look at what they're wanting to do here. But when Republicans and independents who are serving on this Senate Select Committee on the Judiciary come up with 27 very thoughtful reforms, you know, things like, hey, why don't we have a chancery court to handle business issues? Why don't we have a constitutional court to take some of these, you know, state government issues off the plates of local district judges that should be focused on crime and things like that? Very thoughtful reforms. Oh, they get lambasted, and the Democrats get their partisans in the media to just run their talking points for them. I mean, big picture, it's kind of interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, but if you remember, these appointees that retired, they're coming out of retirement, and they're going to stay there. So Schumer doesn't have to, you know, fulfill that promise. You remember he was saying, look, we're going to have appointees. We want you to put them through. When you Republicans have your appointees, we'll work and we'll get them through on your side. Now that promise is moot. So he's off the hook. And you're going to the inauguration, is that correct?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Yep. It looks like the plan is now solidified. Yeah, it's going to be a busy week and a half starting next Friday. So a week from this Friday, I think it's already right. I'll be doing a live show from the Capitol in Helena Friday the 17th because the Montana Electric Cooperatives have their big co-op days at the Capitol on Monday the 20th. But I'll be at the inauguration for President Trump. So we're going to preview co-op days at the Capitol Friday the 17th with a live Capitol show. And then Monday I'll be at the inauguration. So I'll call in some reports while I'm waiting in line with security while David Noble mans the fort here in studio. And then a live show from Capitol Hill that Tuesday. And then we're live at the SHOT Show in Vegas for the rest of that week. So, man, it's crazy. Helena,
right.
D.C., Vegas, here we come.
Well, try not to poke Senator Schumer in the eye, okay?
I need to go say hi to Chuck, don't I? I need to go.
Don't do it.
I gotta say hi, yeah. Chuck. Remember me? Remember the airport?
No.
I gotta bring my Stillwater Minor cousin with me too, because he got a kick out of being there for that back and forth. Hold that, Mike in Big Timber, for sticking around. I want to throw another totally separate issue altogether. So totally separate question altogether. I want to throw that one to Mike in Big Timber here in just a second. But first, Mike, you had something else you wanted to add.
Right. The mere fact that you're seeing all this going on from the president of the United States, Mr. Biden, shutting down leases offshore, two new national monuments out in California, it's just a land grab. And that bothers me. That really bothers me.
Yeah.
They've got enough land as it is.
But your point,
pushing this agenda.
Your important point that you shared with me off air as I checked in with you there during the Fox News update is that Joe Biden, like, he doesn't really know what's going on. He's just, sir, sign here. And you know, he signs whatever is put in front of him. That you can't just blame Joe Biden for this trail of garbage that he is leaving in his path on the way out the door. It's the Democrat Party and the people that are still pulling his strings. That's an important point I think you made as well, right?
Right, and it's all to make Trump's job a lot harder. That's really vindictive. And these Democrats are like that, Aaron. They are vindictive individuals.
Yeah, that reminds me. I saw Darren Gobb of Helena. He was on Fox and Friends, I think, yesterday, talking about Biden's trail of destruction. I'll share that coming up after the break. Okay, so you brought it up, Mike. You brought up, hey, are you going to say hi to Chuck Schumer while you're in D.C.? For folks who don't remember, I was in the D.C. area. We went to a military memorial dedication at Quantico at the Marine Corps Museum. Incredible ceremony, et cetera. So I wasn't in D.C. for anything political, but we flew in and out of D.C. One of my cousins was there with me. We're waiting for our flight back to Montana, and Chuck Schumer comes in on a flight from New York City. So I just couldn't resist. I said, "Hey, Chuck, we're gonna beat your boy John Tester in Montana." I played basketball in the 90s. I love talking trash, right? So it was just some good fun trash talking. And Chuck Schumer, he likes talking trash too. So he's still walking. He's like 40 feet away from me. He's talking trash. I'm talking trash. It was a ton of fun, but I need to go follow up and say, "Hey, Chuck, remember what I told you?" Not that he'll remember little old me, but you never know.
Well, he might, Aaron. And you've got a great talk show. We want you to stay on the air. This guy could, he could put a wrench in your gear.
Well, somebody said, "Man, you guys are lucky you got on your flight out of there after that trash talking." Hey, but speaking of talking trash, this is the curveball for you. So did you see the clip? So the golden boy of Butte, Montana, Touchdown Tommy. Well, now the Bison fans are calling him. I just said Bison. The Bison fans are calling him Trash Can Tommy. Did you see the video clip where he knocked over the trash can on the Bison sideline? Is it just good old trash talk, or was it bad sportsmanship? Mike, if you got an answer, stand by. I'll come back to you. Or if you want to call in, you can call in as well.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Yeah, Mike in Big Timber just prompted a whole batch of things to talk about. Great phone call as always. But let's go back to talking trash. He brought up Chuck Schumer. So, yeah, hey, Chuck, we're gonna beat your boy John Tester in Montana. That was back in June, and it was after the primary election, because my buddy Evan Wilson, the reason why I could so boldly make that prediction when so many others had tried and failed to topple, flip-flop, flat-top. President Trump was on the ballot. That was massive. That was huge. But look, there were states where Trump did well, and the Republican Senate candidate still did not. Trump pulled a lot of them across the finish line, but he wasn't able to pull all of them across the finish line. So it came down to good candidates, right? And first off, Tim Sheehy was a great candidate from day one. And then, of course, having Trump on the ballot was massive. But anyway, but the reason I could so boldly make that prediction is, like, look, we have seen that Montana has become even more of a solidified red state. I mean, look at what I played a clip yesterday of Governor Greg Gianforte's inaugural address. For the first time in nearly 130 years in Montana, you've got the legislature controlled by Republicans. You've got every statewide office from the governor on down controlled by Republicans. You've got the entire 4-man congressional delegation run by Republicans. And look, it's because not only Donald J. Trump, I think, has solidified the Republican Party as the party of the working class. And that's pushed a lot of previously Democrat strongholds or swing districts into the Republican camp. But also Tim Sheehy was a great candidate. When I was talking trash back and forth with Chuck Schumer, I was having fun, because I could go have coffee with Chuck Schumer, even though I disagree with the guy on a lot of stuff, and enjoy a nice conversation, right? Even though I maybe despise some of his viewpoints and his ideology. I don't know if I'd eat one of his burgers. It still doesn't look like he knows how to cook a burger on the grill. So I might let him. I'll cook my burgers. You cook yours, Chuck. Or better yet, Chuck, I'll make the burgers. You can pick up the tab, but I'll make the burgers.
So we were talking trash back and forth, and Chuck Schumer, I said, "Wait, we're going to beat your boy, John Tester." And then Chuck fires back. He's like 40 feet down the hallway at the airport at Reagan National at this point. And he's like, "You got a crazy candidate back there in Montana. You got a crazy." And I was like, "He's a Bronze Star for Valor, Purple Heart, Navy SEAL veteran. What are you talking about?" You know, so that was some of the trash that we were talking back and forth. And my cousin was just rolling, laughing, because he'd never been to D.C. He'd never been east of South Dakota before. So he's, you know, grew up in Lolo in the Missoula area. And so he's just like, holy cow, this is his first time seeing, you know, D.C. politics kind of, you know, up close and personal. And but anyway, all that trash talk, let's get to it here. So I asked Mike in Big Timber. He didn't want to stick with us through another break there. And that's all right. I said, so what's your take? You know, touchdown Tommy Mellott, the golden boy, and truly of Butte, America. I mean, what a remarkable young man. What a remarkable season, despite coming up 3 points short, just barely. I mean, they almost pulled it off in the national championship. But there's this one clip from the national championship game where Tommy's got the football. He's running towards the sideline. He goes through the sidelines, and he gets to his stopping point, and it, maybe if you saw it very quickly in real time, you'd think, oh, he just ran into the trash can and knocked it over because he wanted to stop himself from running any further. You know, it was like Forrest Gump running all the way through the end zone type of thing. Maybe that's what it was. But then you watch the video a few more times. If you do the referee's review, if you do your own review of the footage, you're like, oh, no, he definitely pushed that over on purpose. So I asked Mike, I said, what do you think? You know, because now some of the North Dakota State fans are calling him Trash Can Tommy instead of Touchdown Tommy. But look, they've just got hard feelings because their incredible quarterback did not get the Walter Payton Award. So they're pissed off. Yeah, they got the national championship, but they felt they deserved the Walter Payton Award. And so anyway, I think that's where that's coming from. But I asked him, I said, what do you think? Is it just good old trash talk, just him having fun? I said, or do you think, like, man, it looked like poor sportsmanship? Because that's kind of the debate in the college sports world after the game was on ESPN on Monday night. And I agree with Mike and Big Timber. He pointed to the fact that, look, after the game was over, I mean, could you imagine the emotions that would be going through your head if you had an undefeated season, a team that loved you, as evidenced by the video when he received that Walter Payton Award and then showed up back at the hotel that the whole team was staying at, and they gave him just this hero's welcome. It wasn't a hero's welcome. It was a welcome home from a long deployment type of a welcome for Tommy Mellott. And then you almost pull off a win in the national championship in Frisco, Texas, and you only lose by 3 points. A lot of people were saying, why didn't they have somebody there to catch the punt at the end of the game? Anyway, could you imagine the emotions that would be going through your, what is he, 21, 22-year-old head? And yet, how did he respond during that time in the national spotlight? With grace, with humility. Mike made the point, look, he was very cordial to the entire NDSU Bison team and to the fans, and he said some great remarks about the team. That's why I think, like, look, I think the whole trash can incident was just a little bit of talking trash. I mean, look, you have teams even at the high school level. If you have a, you know, if you have a goat that is like not your mascot for your team, but it's just a symbol. You've always had this stuffed goat out in front of your high school, or you always carry this thing to the big game. And then the rival team will sneak in the middle of the night, and some of the kids will sneak in and steal your goat. You know, it's good fun. It's kind of good trash talk. It seems like that's basically what a little something like this was here. So anyway, speaking of trash talk, look at all the trash coming out of the Biden administration in Washington, D.C. I mean, just continuing to undermine border security, releasing these terrorists. On and on we go with the Joe Biden regime. Darren Gobb is a retired U.S. Army lieutenant colonel. He's joined us on the show. He's called into the show randomly before, and
Always great to catch up with Darren Gobb. But he was on Fox and Friends, I think it was. He was on with Brian Kilmeade, I think, yesterday morning. And he talked about this trail of destruction that Biden is leaving in his wake.
All right, now this. Fox News alert, growing outrage over the Biden administration's quiet transfer of 11 Gitmo detainees to Oman, including two of Bin Laden's alleged bodyguards. Doesn't end there. The Wall Street Journal now reporting the administration is in talks with the Taliban about a trade for another senior Al-Qaeda advisor held in Gitmo for three Americans held in Kabul. Our next guest knows all about fighting the war on terror. He does it. U.S. Army veteran Darren Gobb served in Afghanistan. Colonel, your thoughts about this transfer?
Yeah, good morning, Brian. Thanks for having me on. My initial thoughts on this were the fact that Joe Biden seems to be doing everything he possibly can to leave a trail of destruction behind him before he leaves office. And if this was important to do, it should have been done years ago. By the way, now we're admitting that we still have Americans in Afghanistan after fighting that narrative for years now and still not holding anybody to account for that failure in Kabul. This is just another message to terrorists and others worldwide that this administration, as it goes out the door, is going to do everything it can to work against the Americans, not hold people accountable. And every one of us who spent time in service, me, 7 tours overseas, 4 of them in Afghanistan, and you're going to let the terrorists go that helped perpetrate this act? This is just more of Joe Biden being Joe Biden, unfortunately.
Yeah, and the Democrats being the Democrats, too, as Mike and Big Timber pointed out earlier. Yeah, great comments there from Darren Gobb. By the way, Darren did some great coverage of the Zoe Zephyr shenanigans in the last session of the legislature, and I quoted some of his reporting in that piece that I wrote for TheFederalist.com. A couple years ago. All right. Phone lines are open for you. Sheriff Slaughter and more coming up in the 8 o'clock hour of the show. Hey, I did something yesterday. I'm very excited. I'm starting my annual tune-up with Billings Last Diet. Some of you might be saying, Aaron, why are you excited to go on a diet? I mean, you have to limit what you're going to eat. You have to just eat healthy. Hey, look, you know what? It's January. It's the new year. I enjoyed the holidays. I had some time off. So for me, right now is the perfect time to do my diet with tune-up with Billings Last Diet and shed off a few pounds and get ready to go. But the reason I'm really excited about it is, A, I'm ready for it, but B, I love their Ideal Protein food products. I picked up, of course, the Nacho Dorado protein chips. I think I picked up some of the ranch-flavored chips as well. In fact, I'm going to have my mid-morning snack here during the next break. And then they have these things. You remember like the vanilla wafers, you know, with the vanilla cream in the middle of the wafer? They have those in multiple flavors, but they're protein. It's like having a protein bar. So there's lots of food products to choose from. So I'm very excited to be doing my tune-up with Billings Last Diet. You can get started for the first time or go in for a tune-up as well. BillingsLastDiet.com or call 294-6751.
News commentary.
Apple has agreed to pay out $95 million as a part of a lawsuit over Siri eavesdropping. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
Stay on top of the latest forecast with America's Weather Team in the palm of your hands.
Here's the latest from America's Weather Center.
It's Fox Weather updates throughout your busy day, every day.
That heat's going to be out there for one more day.
Temperatures being 30 degrees above average.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com.
Our phones are always listening, and while many of us have accepted that reality, Apple will have to pay a price for their part in it. Apple has agreed to dole out $95 million to settle a class action lawsuit over their virtual assistant function, Siri. The payout will resolve an ongoing lawsuit out of California that accused the company of deploying Siri to eavesdrop on people using iPhone and other devices. According to the lawsuit, even when users did not summon Siri, the virtual assistant still recorded conversations and then shared them with advertisers as a means to target products to consumers. Apple isn't admitting to it or acknowledging wrongdoing in the settlement, but if it's approved, tens of millions of customers who owned iPhones or certain other Apple devices between September 17, 2014 through the end of last year could be eligible to file claims and get a piece of that pie. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at OutKick.com.
Fox stands united with Love One Louisiana in support of the victims and families impacted by the New Year's Day French Quarter terrorist attack. Visit go.fox/NOLA to support. That's go.fox/NOLA.
Gary Marbit with the Montana Shooting Sports Association outlined four key bills that he wants to get across the finish line in Helena. Check it out, MontanaTalks.com.
Sunshine and some increasing clouds later today. A few snow showers possible towards the afternoon, especially in the Bozeman area. High temperatures will range in the mid and upper 30s. For tonight, with cloudy skies and some areas of light snow, accumulations generally staying an inch or less, with low temperatures from the upper teens to the lower 20s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
The Montana legislature only meets every other year for about 90 days. That session is now underway after lawmakers were sworn in at the Capitol in Helena. One of the biggest issues facing the legislature this session is judicial reform. Hey, Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. If you go to MontanaTalks.com, you can see a full primer on judicial reform. Our conversation with former UM constitutional law professor Rob
201-6263.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Spring Spas and Saunas Live Well, Feel Better Studio.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, good. Tim in Billings has a topic that I think will tie into something that I wanted to cover yesterday with John Jackson, but we never got to it. So I think we'll be able to get to that one here today. Basically, there was a story about how the National Sheriffs Association, so representing all sheriffs across America, is backing Kash Patel to be the FBI director and talking about how important it is that we get Kash Patel, in and sworn in as a director of the FBI, which is just awesome. We had Kash Patel on the show last year, and he's outstanding. I listened to his whole audio book. It's a must read, must listen, whichever way you consume his book. So coming up either in the 8 o'clock or the 9 o'clock hours, I think he's going to join us coming up here in the 8 o'clock hour. Cascade County Sheriff Jesse Slaughter is going to be with us talking about that. So that'll be great. Also, this kind of ties in with what Tim in Billings wants to talk about. I got a message on our Montana Talks earlier, our app earlier, from Terry in Kalispell. Terry said this, good morning, Aaron. Have you heard anything about Vice President-elect Vance? Has he disappeared? Thank you for such a wonderful program. No, I've seen J.D. Vance. So he is technically, well, he was a senator, and then he'll be sworn in on the 20th. But he was on the floor of the House for the certification of the presidential election results, because I saw Congressman Troy Downing, snapped a photo with him. So he's there. It's just a... Donald Trump is dominating the news right now instead of number two. Tim in Billings, what's your thoughts this morning?
Good morning, Aaron. Yeah, I saw a video of J.D. Vance on the floor, and somebody said something to him, and he chuckled pretty heartily and then kind of regained his bearings and because they were swearing people in and stuff. But the thing I noticed, and I think for both conservatives and liberals, if you want to get back to a little more civility, I guess. You know, liberals can't freak out when a guy doesn't shake Kamala Harris's hand when his wife is being sworn in as a senator from Nebraska, and conservatives can't freak out and say, oh, this guy is a savage and this and that. The guy's leaning on a cane with his right hand, holding a Bible with his left hand. What is he supposed to do? Grow a third arm to shake her hand? You know, turn into a tripod so he can hold himself up? Can we just all get over the getting one up on your political rival and just say, you know, it was an awkward moment. Kamala Harris made it a little more awkward when she kind of made the face and pulled her hand back. And I don't know if it's because she realized she's reaching for a guy's hand that is leaning on a cane, or she doesn't realize he's leaning on a cane because, you know, how many people is she shaking hands with? 100 people, 100, senators, and then there's spouses and families and everything else. I mean, can we just give everybody a little bit of grace and say,
yeah,
it was an awkward moment and there was no maliciousness involved on either side. Quit beating your chest and saying how horrible the other side
is. Oh, the Democrats in the media, in the MSNBC style media, they started calling Senator Deb Fisher's husband a racist. He just wants the good old days. Oh, my goodness. You're right. He's an elderly guy. He walks in. Now he didn't look excited to see Kamala Harris, but then again, who, but no, you're exactly right. Like, yeah, at first glance, you watch it and you're thinking, oh man, he just snubbed Kamala Harris. And you're right. People on the right were saying, oh, what a savage. Good job. People on the left, he's a racist. But then you watch the replay, you know, kind of like talking about some trash talk in the football game. You watch the replay of the video. It's like, oh, the guy is using a cane with his right hand. So if he lets go of the cane, does he, you know? And then he's holding the Bible that his wife just got sworn in on in his left hand. What's the guy supposed to do? But of course, the MSNBC mob media calls him a racist. And Kamala probably couldn't see the cane in the Bible. So, like, yeah, you got to give her a little bit of grace on that one potentially, too. All right, Tim, we're out of time this hour. Thanks for calling in. We should have some time to take your phone calls in the 8 o'clock hour as well. And then we got a couple of guests who should be joining us. So stand by, a lot more on a follow.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
When Montanans talk about taxes, they usually mean all taxes. But when we talk about the budget deficit, it's the federal government that's spending more money than it takes in, spending too much money, many would say, with ample evidence. But there's another side to deficits that you might not want to hear. The Congressional Budget Office estimates that federal taxes of all kinds added up to 17% of the economy, or GDP, last year. That's exactly the same fraction that taxes accounted for in 1962, before the Great Society spending programs, or the escalation of the Vietnam War. That's been good as far as economic growth is concerned, arguably. Tax rate cuts at various points in time have spurred investment and helped grow the economic pie. Many more have been proposed. But the decades of actually cutting taxes and paying only lip service to controlling spending have produced the profound imbalance we have today. And correcting that will involve more taxes. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.